The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, our Creator, Jesus Christ, God made flesh, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A week ago today, I had planned to give a very different sermon. Before I'd left for church that day, I'd read the horrific news out of Colorado Springs, but I'd set it aside. My partner was planning to attend the Trans Day of Remembrance Vigil in Jamaica Plain, and I was preparing to read a prayer for trans remembrance at our worship service. I didn't want my first conversation in the morning with my partner to be about this horrible tragedy. After coffee hour, I finally took a look at my phone and saw that the Trans Day of Remembrance Vigil had been moved online. But organizers determined, rightly, that it was simply not safe to hold the event anymore. Not only because of what happened at Club Q, but because Boston Children's Hospital had received yet another bomb threat over its willingness to provide life-saving care to trans youth. All of this points toward a difficult truth. Being transgender or gender nonconforming is not safe in this country. Queer and trans people are not safe in this country. Where's the gospel in this? Where is the gospel in the deaths of 5 people, 17 more physically injured, and the network of everyone else who was there, plus their friends and their family, their loved ones, who must sit with this trauma? We know that there is no good news in events where queer and trans people are harmed. I'm reassured by one thing, and perhaps this one thing alone, in this horrible moment. God is incarnate. Jesus is human. God became flesh. God knows what it is like to be human and experience suffering. God knows fear. God knows pain. God knows uncertainty. God knows each and every one of us, and God knows what it is like to be like us. So God knows what it is like to love deeply. And God knows what it is like to grieve, to even grieve people we have never personally met. In her book, Bearing the Unbearable, Dr. Joanne Cacciatore compares love and grief. She tells us, "We do not experience grief without love. And we cannot experience the love without feeling grief. our hearts open because grief, like love, is a matter of the heart. The pain I feel now, the deep grief I am left with in the wake of this horribly violent event, is because I love the LGBTQIA community. I love queer and trans people. I love myself, and I love my friends, and I love my partner, and I love all queer and trans people. And when queer and trans people die violently, I grieve. God grieves their deaths too. Love and grief are two parts of essentially the same thing. In our reading from Isaiah, God tells us what God wishes we would do with our weapons. God wills that the people beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, line of Rebekah, come, let us walk in the light of the Holy One of old. In the wake of every instance of gun violence in this country, a woodcut of Jesus comes up on my social media feeds, often shared by my Lutheran campus pastor from my time in undergrad, Reverend Casey Dunsworth. The woodcut, titled Christ Breaks the Rifle, shows Jesus standing alone in a field, holding a rifle in his hands, his knee launching upward and shattering the rifle in two. This is a depiction of God beating a sword into a plowshare, a spear into a pruning hook, a gun into something that cannot kill anymore. The fact that gun violence like this continues in this country is a failure of our government to do anything to stem the violence. This is state-sanctioned violence because the state continues to let it happen over and over again. And as a Christian, one of the foundations of my faith is that Jesus, God made flesh, died at the hands of the state. Because of my faith, not in spite of it, do I believe that as a society, we can do better because we have seen what this brand of violence can do. We must also face the reality that this violence will not stop as long as we have public officials and leaders who accuse queer and trans people of grooming, coercion, and trying to take the innocence away from children. This violence against queer and trans people does not happen in a vacuum. It is all wrapped up in the wider context of today. Gun violence rages around us, and even more needless deaths have occurred since the shooting at Club Q, most infamously those deaths at the Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia. When will we as a society see the sins of homophobia and transphobia and gun violence and with one voice shout, enough? It is Advent, and we are supposed to be looking longingly, looking joyously, looking with hope to the moment that God comes into the world and takes our human form. Yet instead, we are saddled with this grief. We are forced to face the reality that the people at Club Q, every single person there, had their joy taken from them. They are living through a version of what we see in today's gospel lesson. One was taken and another was left. Two were dancing. One was taken and one was left. Two were performing. One was taken and one was left. Two were bartending. One was taken and one was left. Also in today's gospel, Jesus tells us to keep awake. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. So today, I am thankful for those in Club Q who kept awake. I'm thankful for the veteran who, according to his own words, went into combat mode to subdue the shooter. I'm thankful for the trans woman in high heels who helped keep the shooter down until first responders arrived. They and others worked valiantly to protect the lives of those in their community. But I also mourn those lost, queer and trans people on the eve of Trans Day of Remembrance. And I mourn because even though I didn't know them, I love them. And God loves them, and God grieves for them, and God loves them and loves us, and grieves for them and grieves with us. No conditions. Love freely given. Love beyond human understanding. Love. Just love. Thank God for the stories and lives of those who were taken from their friends and family. Kelly Loving, Daniel Aston, Derek Rump, Ashley Paw, and Raymond Grant's Green Vance. In this season of Advent, we are in need of a reminder of what, indeed who, is coming. Jesus is coming. God is coming down to earth to experience life with us. The incarnation is at hand. Let us stay awake with anticipation for the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, and know that by his example, we are called to promote justice and seek peace, to end violence and hate and war. We must keep awake and advance Christ's cause. I leave you today with this poem by Jay Holm called Jesus at the Gay Bar, which exploded in popularity online when it was published in 2021, and it began to circulate again after Club Q. The next time I go out with my friends, this poem will serve as an important reminder. He's here in the midst of it, right at the center of the dance floor, robes hitched up to his knees to make it easy to spin. At some point in the evening, a boy will touch the hem of his robe and beg to be healed, beg to be anything other than this. And he will reach his arms out, sweat damp and weary from dance. He'll cup the boy's face in his hand and say, "My beautiful child, there is nothing in this heart of yours that ever needs to be healed." Amen.